Yeah, you can just you can do the fan thing, you know, you just push it open and it'll let someone.
Oh.
No, don't blow on me.
I thought that's what you meant, like, you know, a fan.
No, I meant like do this. No, don't blow on me. Stop blowing on me.
Are you
me.
Nice and cool now?
No, this is uncomfortable.
It's like an ocean breeze.
It is not.
Can you, if you close your
Sean,
eyes, you can hear the
Sean.
Ocean.
All right, three, two, one.
Few things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 14 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
It was the Packers against the Falcons and...
Packers 34, Falcons 20. We got a win.
Oh, gosh, it feels so good.
Back on top of the league.
34-20, and that really, that Falcons score was, there was quite a bit of garbage stuff at the end of the
yeah,
game.
Yeah. It was a good game for the Packers. It was nice to just see things working, you
yeah.
know, to be able to go out on offense and see offense and, you know, the ball get moved down the field hasn't been a given the last few weeks.
Right, absolutely.
Seven of those 34 points for the Packers came on a pick six. So 27 points for the Packers offense. Not bad.
Yeah, it was a nice pick six, too. We'll get into that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But this is the first game since McCarthy got released after losing to the woeful Cardinals. And as we talked about last week, you know, it was time to move on.
Yeah, I think... just the energy, you could tell a difference
yes.
on the team. And, you know, we kind of talked about that. You know, like a lot of teams, you see that when they get their head coach fired midway through the season.
Mm-hmm.
They have that, like, bounce back in energy just because, you know, there's a reason McCarthy was told to leave. It's because things were stale. So, you know, you see the difference.
Right.
Parcells, I know he has said that in the past that head coach's 10 years or lifespan with a team is maximum 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, we were at 13 with McCarthy and it was time.
Well, it definitely setting a tone as well with the some of the players that we let go, traded. Let our coach go midseason. So I think that
got
also,
rid of that Winston Moss character.
And then, yeah, you can cover that. And, but they, it's got for the players. It's got to make you sit up and go, man, you know, they're serious.
Put some accountability on players.
Exactly.
And I think just part of it too with the energy is that they were playing for Joe Philbin.
Mm-hmm.
This game as the interim head coach, and the team likes Joe Philbin, especially the players that have been there for a while. When he was, you know, previously our offensive coordinator before he went to Miami, I know he had a good relationship with a lot of the players.
Right, right.
So I think that was part of it, too, where they were playing for Joe.
Well, you brought up Winston. Why don't you go ahead and explain that?
Well, basically, he came out after, was shortly after, probably just a couple days after McCarthy got let go, and he made a tweet saying, I don't follow the Twitter drama, so you might know it better than me, but basically saying that people in the organization need to be held accountable for
right.
the way we were playing.
Right.
And so he got let go that same day.
And somebody needs to actually coach Aaron Rodgers instead of letting him be supposedly the coach.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, stuff mm-hmm. like that. And at first I thought, well, he's being, you know, he's a McCarthy supporter. But then when you look at it, he's basically calling McCarthy out as well, saying that he wasn't doing a very good job coaching Aaron
mm-hmm.
Rodgers. So that's about what that was all about. Much to do about not much.
So Joe Philbin, his first game under the helm as interim head coach, and he gets a record right off the bat, an NFL record.
Yes, a very interesting one.
So
at that.
I think it was like a minute six into the game.
Yeah.
He had called both our challenges and, you know, never before seen in the NFL until now.
Well, I would love to have heard his thought process when he called the second one. He goes, there's no way they're going to not give this one to me. Because the first one, it should have been a non-catch.
Yeah. Well, that's the Julio Jones catch where he had it as he went to the ground and it kind of flew up into the air away from him. And how they bring Mike Pereira or Dean Blandino on the broadcast to like explain that call. And they brought on Blandino after they ruled it still a catch after the challenge. And
right.
Blandino's like, speechless. I don't know. That's not a catch. And
one thing, also speaking of goofy plays, that I can't recall another game in the NFL where the quarterback threw the ball backwards like Ryan did. You remember that? Where he went to throw it kind of stuck to his hand or something.
His fingers stayed in front of the ball as his arm looped around, and he literally threw it behind himself.
And that put him at, I think that was just before
knocked
the field
him out
goal.
Of field goal range.
But they still tried. I believe
it was short, and so then we got a short field but didn't capitalize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, our playoff hopes, as little as they
are. We're still alive! Actually, they're not even that slim. We're about 2 weeks ago when we were talking about how we still have a chance, we're still at the same odds.
Okay.
Because both weeks, 2 weeks ago, every team we needed to win and every team we needed to lose did so, besides the Packers. The Packers lost 2 weeks ago. It would have really helped if they won that game against the Cardinals. But then this last week, too, Packers won, and every team we needed to lose to help our playoff chances lost.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. So what do we need to do? Well, of course, we got to win out.
Yeah, so we went out, and, the thing is, I had already told myself we're not making the playoffs. And then when it was a 2% chance or something last week, I was like, after we lost, I was like, you know what? It's fine. We're not making the playoffs. I'm not getting my hopes up again.
Right. I did the same thing.
And then now, there's, pretty good odds for the Packers if they went out to make the playoffs. And it's like, I can't let them keep doing this to me.
Well, the one game, which is coming up this Sunday.
The Bears.
That's
Bears.
The big one.
I think if we win that, I'm back on the hype train.
Okay. Choo-choo.
Yep. We play the Bears, the Jets, and then the Lions. Mm-hmm. Jets and Lions, we should be able to win, but there's been a lot of games we should win.
That's right.
But the Bears game this Sunday is the big one. Bears are playing weirdly well this year. Matt Nagy has really turned things around there. They just beat the Patriots last weekend. But then for the Packers to make the playoffs, we have the Redskins who need to lose one more game, the Eagles who need to lose one more game, the Panthers who need to lose one more game, and then the Vikings need to lose two because of that weird tie we had with them. That's kind of coming back to bite us like we thought it would.
Right.
The Redskins are playing the Jaguars, Titans, and then Eagles. You can pretty much guarantee they're losing at least one because their season's over. They have Mark Sanchez under center at the moment. Their quarterback situation has just bad season to be a Redskins
fan.
And
the Panthers have been just going downhill for the last month and a half.
Yep. So. The Eagles are playing the Rams and the Texans next. Both good teams.
Yep.
Easily could drop one. And so it's the Vikings we need to lose two of their final games. They play the Dolphins, who beat – the Dolphins beat the Patriots. That's what I was
thinking
of.
I was going to correct you when you were done.
Dolphins just beat the Patriots. Lions – yeah, who knows? And then the Bears, which is a tough game. It's going to be weird cheering for the Bears that final week.
I'll do it. I'll do it if I have to. It'd be great if that came down to that.
It would be.
I don't know. Speaking of the Vikings, they played last night. We're recording Tuesday afternoon. Again, during daycare. So if you hear any banging or...
You go to daycare?
Every day. So last night, Monday Night Football, the Vikings went to Seattle. It was an ugly game. I don't know if you caught any at all. I tuned in and out a couple, three, five times, and it was just like, it's still 3-0 Seattle. But it was an ugly game, but Seattle did win 21-7. And another game where the Vikings could not do much on offense, so they fired their offensive coordinator, DeFilippo.
Mr. D.
So now I think it's their quarterback coach.
DeFilippo is actually someone who was on the Packers' radar as a possible
supposedly
coaching candidate. So, I guess that is out there as a possibility. I still think it's going to be McDaniels.
It's four new offensive coordinators in the past 5 years for the Vikings. A little sidebar there for you.
Fun.
Yeah.
So let's move on to coaching here.
Yeah.
As always, we start out with
you cut yourself.
He's gone. So let's talk about Joe Philbin.
Well, it was
Green
awkward
Bay
to
Packers
see
head.
This guy. I mean, he looks so different from McCarthy.
It's like a fifth the size, you know.
But anyway, so once you got used to that, he has some weird facial expressions.
I think I was finally used to seeing him coaching the Dolphins, so then to see him back on the Packers sideline calling plays, I was like, what is going on here? And he had never called plays before in the NFL. He hadn't, when he was our offensive coordinator, he didn't call plays in Miami.
Right.
So this was his first shot at it.
It was like a small college that he was coaching at that the last time was back in the 90s.
Yeah. I wonder how many he actually called this play or if it was mostly Rodgers.
Well, that's what we talked about during the game. It would be nice to be able to find that out, but they're never going to let you know.
No.
But I thought he called a pretty good game. I mean, he was calling plays that we've been calling for.
Yeah. There was nothing really special overall, but it's like you said, it's the game plan we've been all the fans have been begging for, like, get ahead with the passing game and then salt away the lead with the run game.
Yes.
And that's all it's all we want. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't ask for the world. We just want some wins in a Super Bowl.
Well, the offense looked like they were clicking a lot better. And it was nice to see since Rodgers got McCarthy out of there, he was throwing the ball better.
Yeah.
He was moving the ball better.
And it was nice to see him willing to call plays in the moment. Trying to think of a good example. Like, for example, in the first half, I believe it was, we called two screens back-to-back. The first screen got blown up, didn't work, so we called another and got
it was
a first
one to the
down.
Left and one to the right.
McCarthy wouldn't have done
right.
that.
Right. Yep, you're absolutely right.
He would just say, like, oh, you know, there goes that. Well, now I guess I'll call a draw. And so, I don't know. I like seeing that. And we played with a lot more rhythm. You know, taking the short checkdowns, Rodgers
right.
was. Just playing for the first down and not necessarily the bomb down the field. We did have a few still where I thought Rodgers held it too long looking for that big play and either took a sack or threw the ball away. But even less throwaways this game. And so, yeah, nothing groundbreaking, but we got consistency in the play calling, which I think is what we've really been wanting. How'd you think about or how'd you feel about Pettine this game?
Well, again, I have to throw out there the injuries that we're playing through.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like the Falcons came out in their opening drive. They scored 7. They looked pretty good. We were making some plays on defense, but they do have some offensive firepower. They scored those 7 points, but other than that, I thought that we played with a lot of intensity. There were some big hits. Mm-hmm. You could tell these guys were blowing up some of the Falcons players. And especially after the second half or the first half, I thought that they really clamped down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just that first drive. I think it was on that first drive that there was that challenge. It was definitely the first drive.
Yeah.
Challenge for the Julio catch. And so that would have never, probably even happened
right.
if it wasn't for that blown call
right.
and then a possible second blown call. And I think Julio Jones ended up with 108 yards, but the majority of them came on that drive
right.
on calls that or catches that shouldn't have been catches.
Exactly.
So if you look at it from that standpoint, they put up yards. In the first quarter, but after that, it was into the fourth quarter until Matt Ryan got another passing yard. Even, they were blanking him through the second and the third quarter, and I was very happy with it. We were letting him run it. They averaged 5 yards a run against us, but that's going to happen when you're selling out to stop the pass.
Yeah, well, that's his MO right now, Pettine. So.
Which is smart because that's how the NFL is set up now. That's part of going and studying the college game to see how to adapt in the NFL, where, the average run, I think, is like 4 yards in the NFL. But the average passing play is 7.6.
You and your stats, dude.
So why not sell out to stop the pass and give them 4 yards every time? It's better than a passing play.
Oh, I agree. I agree. It was nice to see our offense consistently, yeah, yes, we had to punt, but we still looked better than we have for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, before we get into talking about Aaron, right away, I mean, it was easy to start harping on the refs when those challenges were called so quickly. But I was listening to sports talk radio today, and there was quite a bit of talk about on the season as a whole that the refs have been worse than they seem to have been in a long time. How do you, have you heard anything about that? Have you, and what's your feeling?
I haven't really heard any media around it, but I think they've been crap.
Yeah, and this is the first year that they had some full-time refs.
Yeah, and it's not even like missing calls or like making bad calls at points, like missing little things. It's that things are blatantly obvious and they go the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't recall the last time I saw Pereira or Dean Blandino come on and give their little spoof on the broadcast and be like, I have no idea how that's the conclusion they came to. And we've seen that multiple times this year just on the Packers.
I don't know how they're going to fix this with the NFL, because that's going to turn a lot of, they're always worried about numbers on viewers and people coming to the stadium, but they got to figure out something.
I mean, at the beginning of the season, I thought it was, well, you know, there's some kind of confusion going on where there's no consistent message with this, the new rules around hitting and stuff. And we saw the Clay Matthews penalties, you know, really coming up every game to start with.
Sure.
But I thought that was a big part of it, that they didn't have like a consistent message and they'd have to get it down as the season went on. But it's not getting better.
Right. I agree. Okay. All right. I want to get your opinion on that. All right. Let's go with the Rodgers' numbers.
Aaron Rodgers comes into the game, 32 passes, completes 21 of them, 196 yards, and two touchdowns.
Which isn't what you would typically hear.
Yeah. I know. I said that a lot, you know, like he threw for 500. It wasn't a ton for Rodgers, but it was that there wasn't, you know, he wasn't going out there and airmailing every throw like we've been seeing for weeks.
Right.
He was taking checkdowns when he had them available. You know, little dump-off passes to Aaron Jones for a first down. You know, maybe he has just been trying to get rid of McCarthy. Who knows?
It was a different game.
It was a different Aaron
the
whole game. He played in a better rhythm. We were talking about Philbin getting the offense in a better rhythm and the checkdowns and, you know, the offense goes through the quarterback. So
he did rush three times for 44 yards. He got clocked in the head on one of them, and that was kind of a ticky-tack call. It could have gone either way. They didn't call it. Aaron thought they should have called it. It was helmet to shoulder. It looked like helmet to helmet.
I think Aaron slid late. He got greedy and went for the first down when he should have just slid. So I don't think it was a missed call. I did think, you know how Lucas Patrick, our offensive lineman, came running in there. He got to defend the QB.
Yep.
And then there, I don't even know what player it was for him, but a smaller guy, probably secondary or, you know, a speed guy, he jumps on top of Patrick.
I know.
You know, technically, that's an ejection.
Yeah.
Based on the rules,
he
should have been out, but because he, like, jumped on him and then, like, cranked his head back.
Right. It was offsetting penalties, so it wasn't a big deal. But so out of those passing yards, we had it passed the ball around for a fair amount.
Yeah, and this is, I think, where I was happiest with Philbin's play calling. Like, one thing I can point at and say, like, you know, this is what we've been missing is that he ran the offense through our star players. Hmm. He made sure to, on when we were passing it, he focused on Davante Adams and Randall Cobb, and when we were running it, it was with Aaron Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we wanted.
Yep.
So Adams ended up with 7 catches, 81 yards, and a touchdown. Cobb with 5 catches for 43 yards and a touchdown.
Good to have him back.
Yeah. I think in any other offense, Adams is going out there 12-plus catches a game, and he's just a superstar. But, you know, the ball gets moved around too much in this offense for it. But he's been uncoverable all year. So I like that they were made the focus of the game. You know, we've been talking, get the ball to your playmakers.
Right.
You know, that's what the NFL is about now. It's not about a scheme where any player can be plugged into any position.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they run the scheme well, you can win games. It's about, you know, athletes now.
Well, and it all opens up your play, the plays that you can run. If you got they're trying to cover Adams and Cobb, well, then the other guys get open because they're overplaying the ones that are catching.
Yeah, so Adams and Cobb combined 124 yards, 2 touchdowns. And when you have your quarterback throwing for... 196. Yeah, throws for 196 and 124 of them go to your two guys.
Yeah, right.
You know, one thing that was interesting, for only the second time this season, Equanimeous St. Brown had more snaps than Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Mm. St. Brown had 34 and MVS only had 30. So kind of shows you just, you know, how that competition between the rookie receivers is mm-hmm. shaping up as we get into the later part of the year. Jimmy Graham had a few drops this game.
Yeah.
I think he's struggling to catch the ball with his broken thumb.
I can understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's understandable. Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying to catch a football from one of the harder throwing quarterbacks in the league. Mm-hmm. It's going to sting a little. He had 2 drops, I think you could definitely pin on him. And then that he had the deep ball. You know, Rodgers, I think, was rolling out, threw it deep, just a beauty, you know, kind of the edge of your seat. What's going to happen? And then he, instead of catching it with arms extended, catching the ball, he let it come to his body, and the defender was able to get his arm in there and knock it away. I think that's because of the thumb.
Well, I my thing, right when I saw it, the ball was a perfectly – it had a nice spiral, but mm-hmm. as soon as it got some air under it, it turned into a duck.
Mm-hmm.
It started wobbling, and you should know that as a receiver, you come back to the ball. And he didn't come back to the ball. He waited for it to hit him in the gut so he could catch it. And that's why the defender was able to come back and stop the catch. So that's what my feeling is on that one, mister.
17 carries for Aaron Jones. That's probably the most all year.
I think it is.
It has to be. 17 carries, 78 yards and a touchdown, as well as 3 catches for 28 yards. Good game for
Aaron
Jones.
Yeah, and it's just fun watching him. And he's got such good vision and
patience and the cut. And you know, you really saw that on that 29-yard touchdown run he had where just waited for the opening, and then he, you know, reversed the defense
right in
the second level, basically, which you don't see much, especially nowadays, because defenders are so much quicker than they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he had a really good game. It's nice to see them run the game through him in the running game and not this running back by committee nonsense.
Well, he's a freaking star for our offense because mm-hmm. of how many passes he catches too, and those turned into some really good yardage as well.
Yeah, and that's not to say they weren't using Jamal Williams this game. He was in there for 24 snaps, only had 4 carries, but they had him in there a lot on passing plays, and I think that's because our offensive line was just beat to heck. You know,
mm-hmm.
we had, I think, 2 starters mm-hmm. in there this game. And other than that, it was all backup. So Jamal Williams is the better pass rush blocker
mm-hmm.
guy who stops people
pass protect
hitting
good.
Aaron yeah. when they run through the line.
Keep going.
So I think that's, you know, where most of his snaps were coming from. And that just kind of goes back to have players do what they're best at.
Yeah. That's what we've talked about for years.
It's weird, but it happened.
Well, how many times did we do a podcast where they're getting the rush in, and you and I are like, McCarthy's not going to do anything. He's not going to put an extra guy back there.
Well, I think every season of this podcast that we've done, you know, there's been games where one of the tackles is injured. And so that whole game, you know, whether it's the right or left tackle, we're just getting destroyed on that side of the line. It's
right.
like, help him out.
Right.
You know, have a running back chip the guy even, put a tight end over there. But that was not McCarthy's style.
Well, since we're talking about the offensive line, let's go through it then.
Could have been a much uglier game.
Mm-hmm.
Or I wouldn't even call it an ugly game. It could have been an ugly game for our line. We had Jason Spriggs at backup at right tackle, Justin McCray at backup at right guard, and Lucas Patrick at backup at left guard. That's kind of a hodgepodge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. offensive line you got there.
And that's where you really, you appreciate those guys that stepped in there and were still able to get the job mm-hmm. done for the most part. Who is the team? Gosh, I just heard somebody talking about it. Their offensive line is just shot, but it escapes me. But I got to give them credit. They did
well. I was happy with how Lucas Patrick played at left guard. I've liked what we've seen from him when he's been in there. I thought he did especially good blocking in the running game. They all did pretty good, but I think especially him. And then Justin McCray, I've thought all year he should be the starter over Byron Bell. Do you know statistically Byron Bell is in like the bottom five of offensive linemen in the league right now?
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, so keep McCray in there. If he's going to play better, you know, that's who should be the starter. We had 4 sacks given up in the first half.
Yeah, that was tough.
None in the second. A few of them, you know, Rodgers holds on to the ball too long.
Yeah, and in addition to that, you know, he does that heart count, and so he can see that they're blitzing. But he is still looking for that whatever play. He's not looking at getting out of the pocket real quick or throwing the ball real quick. He'll just take the sack.
Yeah, and I think part of it, you know, you got guys in there that aren't used to playing cohesively as a line with the backups, so it takes them a little bit to get things figured out. But then also we ran the ball a lot more in the second half.
Yeah.
So one, less chances for them to sack the quarterback. And, you know, you ask any offensive lineman, they tell you, I want to run the ball.
Oh, sure.
You know, it's a lot easier to run protect than it is to – you know,
well,
pass block, especially when you have Rodgers.
When offense, when they're throwing the ball, you got to hold your ground and the other guy's beating you up. Where it's reversed when you're running the ball.
Exactly.
You can have a lot of fun when you're running the ball well.
All right. Let's talk about some defense.
All right.
Some Packers defense. A lot of the yards and points for the Falcons in this game came in kind of garbage time moments. So you can't look into that too much, but the opening drive was nice. We talked about they got some lucky breaks on that drive from the refs, but, you know, they were also nice. Julio Jones is never an easy guy to cover. He's going to go down as one of the greats to play wide receiver. So let me see here.
Well, I put it in there.
Yeah, you threw me off.
I put in there that they missed that, which I mentioned earlier. They missed that field goal where Ryan threw the ball backwards about 6 yards. And so it was a 54-yard field goal, and it was short by a good 5 yards. But Lambeau's a tough place in the winter to be kicking the ball.
The announcers were very annoying this game, in my opinion. But I did enjoy when they with the kick that field goal. You know, they get pushed out of field goal range, and the announcer's like, oh, you know, the – they'll have to punt here because they weren't able to hit these in pregame from this direction. And then they sent out the field goal team, and the one announcer's just like, maybe he found some extra oomph. Not the case.
Well, as far as the announcers, I think the color guy was horrible. I mean, he was miscalling players' names. He was in just missing the play.
Those are the – on the Madden games, those are the announcers.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I turn them off.
Okay.
I mute them. Julio Jones, like we said, ended up 8 catches, 106 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I thought Jair Alexander did a great job covering Julio. Big chunk of that yardage came on plays that shouldn't have been catches, and Alexander was right there guarding him. And then otherwise, you know, 6 of the catches, it's Julio.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Yeah. He got kind of back-footed and beat on a out-and-up route.
Yeah, he was right where he should be. Turned around to look for the ball, and then Julio's got more separation.
Which that's the veteran move. You wait for the defender to that look.
That's right.
He
learned a lot, I bet.
Yeah, he got beat there, but he ended up with 10 tackles and a pass defensed as well. He's gone up against some of the best receivers in the league this year in his rookie year, and I think we talked about when he got beat on that route this game. It's like a handful of plays you can point at for him in his rookie season and go, oh, he messed up there.
Right.
Like, that is impressive. You know, he's going to be a stud.
I'll let you talk about this one because I know you love that play.
The pick 6 by Breshad Breeland. I was so happy when we picked up Breshad Breeland. I wanted him in the offseason. We didn't get him. And then because of the fluky foot injury with him, we got him midseason. And this is why I wanted him. You know, he reads quarterbacks. He makes ball-hawking plays. And it was just a little out route that Matt Ryan was throwing, and he read it the whole way, jumped the route, took it back for six.
It wasn't even close.
No.
It was, he had that thing pegged as soon as the ball came out of his hand.
It was a beauty.
It was.
I hope we re-sign him after this year, because I know he's on a one-year free agent contract. I don't know. I think we have a lot of free agents that we might be seeing go from the team this year, but I think if we were going to prioritize a player, I think Breland is one of the free agents we should sign, because, you know, with what we have to around him right now, Jaire Alexander, you have Kevin King, you know, you have, that's a solid secondary, and Breland is just going to be that depth and that ball hawk in there. I hope we keep him.
Yeah, I hear you.
Tough to slow down a run game when you don't have big old Mike Daniels in the middle of the line there.
Yeah. Well, then Clark went out with his elbow.
Elbow injury, yeah.
And, of course, they did what you should do, run right where that guy was, and they ran it for 12 yards, I think it was. So.
Yeah. Like we said, they averaged 5 yards a carry, but we're also letting them run it rather than throw it. I'm fine with them running every play when you have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones on the field.
That's right. That's right.
It was nice to see when Kenny Clark went out, because he even went to the locker room. They brought him back to the locker room, and then he came back in. So that was good to see.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty disappointed in Lowry filling in Mike Daniels' position. I think we call his name a lot for good plays when he's in there, but I think that's when Daniels is in and he gets rotated in.
Oh.
I think he might be more of that positional guy, because it just seems like when he's in there all game, he gets kind of beat up and pushed around as the game goes on.
Oh, that could be. That does happen.
So he might be more of a rotational player. But yeah, like we said, Kenny Clark, it's a good thing he came back into the game for us, because he is just having a monster year. Mm-hmm. He's been probably our best defensive player this year.
I think so. I think he is. It's a huge difference when he's not in there. So, Martinez, another good game, had 12 tackles. He's a very consistent tackler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he hasn't been like a big play guy for us. You know, he's not going out there making a lot of strips or anything like you see a lot of linebackers doing, but he's where he needs to be, and he's a good tackler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a consistent piece in the middle of the defense, and that's where you need the consistent piece to be.
Yes, I totally agree. And he seems to be, the game seems to be coming to him easier. He's playing quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a great game for
him. Yeah. Two guys we don't get to call out their name all that much, so I put them on here. Tyler Lancaster and Antonio Morrison both had nice tackles for a loss, where they just blew up running plays and got tackles in the backfield. I think especially Morrison's, he just like flew through the line and blew the guy up. So that was fun to see. Even Fackrell had one. Let's see, what was the play? It was a jet sweep to the right, and Fackrell was like 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage and blew it up.
Yep.
So that was exciting, especially because we didn't see much of Fackrell in the rushing pass rush.
Right.
2 weeks in a row now, we haven't really seen him win. I think ever since we gave him the game ball,
I think
we shouldn't have given him that freaking game ball.
I think it's part of the injuries, though, that you know you got lesser players in there, and you can, if you feel like he might be a factor, you can have guys chipping on him all the time.
Well, Fackrell's also, I think his success has a lot to do with Mike Daniels' success.
Mm.
He plays right next to Daniels. He's the guy that gets openings when Daniels gets double teamed. So I think we're seeing a product of, you know, Daniels being gone there. Matthews had a nice sack this game on a stunt that he ran.
Mm-hmm.
And then also continued to play well in the run game. He had 2 tackles for a loss this game,
which was nice. He's been kind of quiet. And again, I don't know if that's a case of the injuries, but he really hasn't been. I think he's lost some of his speed. That's really hurt him.
Yeah, he's been solid all year in the run game, though, stopping the run. And I think, you know, that's just a veteran. You know, you don't have the speed and the athleticism to get to the QB like you had in previous years.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to adapt and evolve. Quarterbacks who are mobile quarterbacks get old and can't quite run like they used to. They have to become pocket
passers
and timing passers. And I think we're just seeing that with Matthews. And he's like, this is how he's contributing to the team right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that means he'll be back next year or not, it's probably a no. But
I'm thinking you're right. I'm thinking you're right.
Especially for the money he would be asking for on just with his name.
Right.
And then as far as safety on our defense, Tremont Williams, Kentrell Bryce, nothing really newsworthy, but they also didn't give up any big plays, mm-hmm. which is kind of what the safety's there for. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
they're there for safety.
We saw, excuse me, you could see with Ryan there was some plays where he wasn't really finding anybody open.
Mm-mm.
And that's awesome. That's it's been a long time coming to have a secondary that could do
it's
that.
It's weird to have a secondary that's not Swiss cheese.
Right.
You know?
Ba-dum-bum.
Hey.
Let's go to the special teams, and it was special for Mason Crosby.
Yeah, he had a good day. Right from the get-go as the game started, they mentioned the swirling winds that were in Lambeau for this game. And I think when we were in the second and the fourth quarter, we were kicking into the wind. And I know his 49, he had a 50-yard field goal. I think that was with the wind. But the 49-yard was against the wind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you had already seen the Falcons kicker in a very similar situation be, like you said, 5 yards short.
Yep.
And then Crosby just goes in and punts it through, no problem.
Yeah, and you could see the wind beating it down, too, because the way it the trajectory when it took off, and then it just starts going lower and lower.
Mm-hmm.
But it had plenty of room, so kudos to him. It's he's redeeming himself from that Lions game, I guess.
Yeah, you know, we've said ever since that game, no one should be giving up on Crosby.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's been such a consistent kicker for us, and showing it here. Old man, pepper, salt and pepper hair himself.
Yeah,
going
love
on
it.
Kicking
I
long
love it.
Field goals.
We need more gray guys.
On the opposite end of the age spectrum, we have J.K. Scott.
How's it going, dude?
The Colorado kid. he was the Cali kid until we Googled it.
That's
and
right.
And found out he was the Colorado kid.
It works.
He had 42.3 yards gross punting this game, 38.8 net.
Mm-hmm.
Decent game, especially when you consider he had one really bad short punt that kind of got shanked off to the
bad.
Side. So that's going to hurt your average.
Right. It was bad.
I think part of it is wind chill. This game was 15 degrees. Punting is probably the biggest area that the cold affects besides, like, a quarterback's grip on the ball. I think punting is the biggest one they normally point at and say, like, you know, you can expect bad punts when the weather's that cold, but I thought he did pretty well with it.
And I put down that I wanted to mention again that we're still making mistakes every single game on special teams. And
fire the Zook.
Oh, my gosh. It's just, especially, like, if we got to run the table, that's the difference between running the table sometimes. Guy makes he muffs a punt, they recover, and we're done. So we got to just get Zook out of there.
So are you going back to what we talked about, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, about finding a special teams-minded head coach? Really get this turned around?
I think we need a special teams coach.
I think that's what not the Harbaugh that coaches the Ravens. Who's the one that's the Michigan Wolverines head coach? Is it Jim or John?
Jim.
Jim
Harbaugh is in Michigan, and John Harbaugh is.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh, he's a special teams guy.
Mm.
He was a special teams guy as head coach and then just let the offensive and defensive coordinators do their thing.
Hmm.
Not that I'm saying that's who we should get at coach or that he would ever leave Michigan again.
Yeah, I don't want him.
Do you have any final thoughts on this game?
Mr.
Mike
Reagan.
It feels
really good. It feels really good to, obviously, the win. But also how we won in having, besides the special teams, you know, the couple of miscues, I think that it was nice to see playing as a team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's always going to be mistakes. There's always going to be issues. But,
I agree.
Nice.
And, you know, it's against a four-win team in the Falcons, but it's a four-win team that has a lot of talent
right.
on the field. Their mm-hmm. defense is not there, really. But on offense, they have a lot of skill guys,
they
and
do.
We shut them down for over half the game.
I agree.
So I was happy with that. It's hard not to get your hopes up too much going into the end of the season. But after what we've seen from this team in the last few years, you also can't count them out on
right.
making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably similar to what we needed in 2010 to make the playoffs at the end of the year. We needed a lot of teams to lose to specific teams, and that's what happened, and then we went in and we blew up the league in the playoffs. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen this year, but...
You remember that better than I do. I just remember it was just touch and go for so long, and then I'm like, did we get to the playoffs? It's like, I can't believe we won again. So
yeah,
let's hope so. Let's hope so. What's your...
I think that's the year we had Finley go out for like the year right at the beginning, and
I think you're right.
We were just beat up by injuries all year and couldn't get things right. So who knows? Maybe the Packers are back. Aaron Rodgers says, I don't need you, Mike. I'm going to go in here and I'm going to get my own Super Bowl. Let's go, Joe.
Oh, so Joe gets his first Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Brought to you by Hollywood.
Hey, why not? You know?
Mr. Optimistic. Let's talk about the game coming up.
We have the Bears in Chicago.
Good team this year. They are a very good
team. They are a good team. And we didn't know that week one when Rodgers went out of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, we all thought, okay, here it goes. Big knee injury for Rodgers. He's probably out for the year. It's going to be a great year in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And then that's when Rodgers came back in and had the miracle comeback on one leg. So it's going to be a tough game. You know, they're a good team. They're a very good defense, and they're a consistent offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what they really do, and the key to the Packers this game will be, Chicago runs the ball well. That's one of the best things they do. But then they give Trubisky play action.
Right.
You know, he's not a burn-the-house-down quarterback, but they're so consistent with Cohen and their other running back. That they give so much opportunities to Trubisky because you have to respect the run. So I think slowing down the run, but also continuing to sell out to stop the pass, like we saw this game. You know, give them 5 yards a run. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them pass it on us.
My concern on this game is our offensive line.
That is a good concern.
That's, I mean, whoo. You talk about ramping up the difference between the Falcons' defensive line. It's going to be tough.
And you're also going to see when we played them in week one, they had just signed Khalil Mack. So he was on a snap count. I think he only played like 40% of the snaps. That's not going to be the case on Sunday.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting. Hopefully we, I don't know if we're supposed to get guys back on the line from injury, but hopefully we do get some. That's another good key to the game, protecting the QB.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And having plays that are quick, very quick,
mm-hmm.
getting the ball out of there. So you got here, you think if we win, the Bears go down, the Packers win, we're going to the playoffs.
Yep.
I'm not so optimistic.
I know you're not. You never are. Little negative Nancy over here.
I thought it was negative Sally last time, wasn't it? When you called me that, and then you go, wait a minute, it's Nancy. Sally took over.
Well, you can be a sad Sally if you want. I don't care.
All right, well, Bleeding Green and Gold brought to you by Voice Guy Next Door. In case you're ever wondering, for those who aren't in the voice industry, a lot of times you get what's they're called specs. When you get a copy, and they'll say, you know, read it like you're talking to your neighbor. Don't sound like an announcer. Sound like the guy next door. So hence, therefore, ergo, voiceguynextdoor.com. Help you out with anything. Big stuff right now, a lot of the telephone stuff, telephone messaging, they're using it. Companies are using it more and more to help them be more efficient. And I can definitely help you out with that. Whatever format your phone system is, which is a big issue for a lot of people, because the manufacturers, they don't really care. So check it out, voiceguynextdoor.com. Anything you want to put a voice to your words, I can certainly help you out. The picks.
It was a good week for Mike getting lucky on picks again.
Again and again and again.
Yeah, so you're now currently up by 6 on the season.
How about? What did you say, a half a dozen?
Okay. You picked Lions over Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
I picked Bears over Rams. And then you picked Seahawks over Vikings and Packers over Falcons to go up by 2 more since last week. So you are now up by 6 on the year.
It's looking pretty good.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
So let's look at next week's games in the NFC North. Dolphins at Vikings. Who you got, Mike?
Well, this is one where it's who I want to win and who do I think's going to win. The Vikings losing in Seattle, I think they're going to be absolutely desperate. And I'm going to pick the Vikings on that game at home.
All right. I'll take the Dolphins.
Yeah. They could – the Dolphins could.
They've been surprisingly good in the last half of the season. Tannehill's been playing well. They've kind of gotten an offensive rhythm. I know they it was like a weird play they wanted on.
Oh, that was the strangest thing. It was a 50, 60-yard play. They dumped it off with just a couple seconds left. Tannehill's playing like on one leg. Mm-hmm. And I think they lateraled it twice, and then they were able to run it in.
You never see the hook and ladder
it
play
never
work.
Works.
But despite having to run that play and have it work to win the game, they were in the game the whole time against the Patriots. So, you know, they have the talent to beat them. And I think the Vikings have shown that they aren't the team they thought they were going into this season.
Right.
They're, you know, having a lot of similar struggles to us. And I think losing your offensive coordinator going into this week, I think it's going to be tough for them. So I'm taking the Dolphins.
Okay. All right. Well, then we got the Lions at the Bills.
Bills.
Oh, well, I was kind of leaning that way myself. Lions typically, the last 3-4 games of the season, kind of go poof. But I'll go with the Lions. I'll go against you.
Okay. Packers at Da Bears.
Oh, man, this is a tough one. I know you're going to go opposite whatever I pick, so.
This makes such a great audio medium, you know, this podcast.
I can see listening with your earbuds and pulling them out going, oh, stop! Packers.
Oh, he goes Packers. I guess I'll take the Bears.
Going against the Packers?
I know.
What kind of fan are you?
I don't know, man. It feels bad. It's definitely like, you know, if I happen to be right, it's going to be ashes in my mouth. It'll be a hollow victory.
Go get you some kitty litter.
Honestly, it's going to be tough. It's always tough to go play in Chicago.
Yep.
But I think with the energy on the team, I think, you know, we'll see at least a good game. I don't think it's going to be ugly.
Yeah.
You know, the Bears... Who was it they played this last week?
I don't know. Let's see if I can pull up the...
But I think they held them to 7 points. There we go. It's right up there.
Okay.
No, it's not. We got to move over. Oh, the Rams. They beat the Rams 15-6.
That's right.
Not easy to hold the Rams to 6 points.
Yeah.
So.
And a lot of that, Rams are playing in cold Chicago, and they kind of wondered if that was going to happen. But anyways... Chicago's a very good team.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. I'm excited for it, though. It's nice,
too.
Even if we don't make the playoffs, it's nice to be able to go into this week late in December or middle of December and at least have it mean something.
Right.
That it could get us in the playoffs.
Right.
It could knock us out. The fact that there's a point to going to play, I'm happy about.
Amen, Brother Sean.
You know, you always got to end on a silver lining.
That's right.
That's what we should change the name. This is the Packers Silver Linings podcast.
No, I like bleeding green and gold. that just tough football. All right, it's a noon Central game. Packers in Chicago against the Bears. And until next time,
go Pack, go!
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!